Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to advance.
It's time to advance.
We've been here long enough. It's time to advance.
It's time to advance.
Oh, come on, shout it, somebody. Advance, 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 advance. Right now, right now, right now. I've got it, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. I'm going to advance. In military strategies, I read this week there are many strategies. I read the 10 top strategies. I read the 33 best strategies. I read the best three strategies. All the strategies have one thing in mind: to advance, to take territory, to drive the enemy back. Advance, 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 advance. Y'all just stay right there. I may not preach long. Advance, 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 advance. What does it mean to advance? Move forward. Move forward. Everything about you was built to go forward. I mean, look at yourself. You were built to go forward. You don't walk around like this. You hurt yourself. Even though you can look behind you and do that, you're going to hurt yourself. My first job, I was 12 years old. My parents can validate this. My dad had a patient, and he hired me out of the goodness of his heart. I was 12 years old. They only paid me 50 cents an hour. I don't know if I'm that old or it was just I wasn't worth that much. I don't know which one it is. But they paid me 50 cents an hour. I worked 12 hours a day. 6.5 days a week. I had to go in on Sunday afternoon after church. And it was at the farmer's market. And the man that owned the business that hired me would get in his pickup truck that was parked in front of the business. And on the other end of the farmer's market, they had an auction every day where they would auction off fruits and vegetables that the farmers brought. And every day he would jump in his truck. And instead of taking the time to back out and turn around and drive down there, he would just put his arm up here, put his hand on the wheel, and he would back all the way down that parking lot. It was probably a quarter of a mile down there. And even though the truck would do that, it was not built to go backwards. It was built to go forward. Have you ever noticed that in the front of your car, there's something called a windshield? And it's big so you can see where you're going. There's a little thing up here called a rear view mirror. And it's to glance back. We're supposed to advance. Give somebody a high five and say, advance. 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 We are supposed to advance. I've got a little ring up here, Rob. Advance means to move forward on purpose, deliberately, intentionally. Make progress, forward movement, arrive first, get there first. Everything about you was built to go forward. When you look at your face, it's on the front of your head so that you can negotiate with people in front of you. Your eyes are made on the front of your head so you can see what's happening in front of you. You were built to go forward. Your ears are cupped to hear things in front of you. Even though you can hear things behind you or to the side, you know, they're built like this, right? And if you really want to hear you, you cup your ear. Come on, somebody. Some folks are really gifted to hear like this. Come on, somebody. But your hands are on the front. Your arms are out in front of you. When you engage somebody, if you are in a military battle, if you are in combat, if you are fighting somebody, you don't fight like this. You cover yourself. You protect yourself. Everything about you was built to go forward. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, we read about Jabez. How many know about Jabez? You know the prayer of Jabez. And Jabez said, he prayed, he said, Lord, enlarge my territory. Let me translate that for you. Lord, I want to advance. I want to advance. I want to move forward. I want more. It's within us. See, the devil's lied to you, and he said, it's greedy of you, it's selfish of you to want more. No, 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 no. God created us with the desire to go forward, to advance, to increase, to want more. Children of Israel said, give us this land. God said, wherever you put your feet, wherever you step, it's yours. Just march it out. Step it off. Step off the land. Wherever you want to go, it's your land. Take the territory. Wherever you put your feet. And the devil lies to us, and we say, well, I'm just so happy over here, just this little corner on God's green earth. No, God wants you to advance. He wants you to drive the enemy back. When you read the Bible, God gave this earth to his children. Nothing on this earth belongs to the devil. Nothing. He is a thief. Anything he has stolen from you and me. He has stolen from the people of God. He is a thief, and the Bible says in John 10, you know the scripture well, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he is a thief. But God wants us to advance. He wants us to increase. Jabez says, Lord, increase my territory. So God expects us to advance. We spend our life advancing, right? When you came into this world, when you came out of the womb, you couldn't read or write. You couldn't walk or talk. All you knew how to do was cry and poop and pee. That's all you could do. Am I telling the truth? That's all you could do. But after a while, you learn to crawl, and you didn't have to be carried everywhere you went. After that, you advance to walking. There's a process. First of all, you would crawl, and then you would stand up, and you'd waddle around a little bit, and then you'd fall. And then you'd take one or two first steps, and everybody's clapping because you took one or two steps, and then you fall, and then you get up. That's key. That's a key. You didn't hear me. I said that is a key. When you fall, you get up. And we learn that as babies, yet when we become adults and we fall, we just, what am I supposed to do? I fail. I hurt myself. I messed up. I made a mistake. You get up. Look at your neighbor and say, get up, get up, get up, get up. If you're ever going to advance, you have to get up. And so we start this process as babies, and we learn to crawl. Then we learn to stand. Then we learn to walk. We start learning to feed ourselves. We start learning to say words. We start learning to talk. If we live in a family that has multiple languages, we become multilingual. If you're in the United States, that's strange to most of us. The rest of the world, they speak 3, 4, 5, 6 languages. It's quiet now. I'm not fussing. I'm just giving you information. God wants us to advance. What I'm saying is you are capable of learning more than one language. You are capable of much more than most of us ever accomplish. But God wants us to advance. So we advance, we start learning to walk, we start learning to go to the bathroom, and we don't have to have a diaper changed. That's a great improvement, right? Somebody shout advance. We start learning to feed ourselves. We start learning to take care of ourselves. Some parents call it the terrible twos or the terrible threes. I call it the tremendous twos, the tremendous threes. Because during those years, those moments, we are learning, we are growing, we are advancing. Somebody shout advance. So we are advancing. Next thing you know, we go to kindergarten. We start learning the alphabet. Then we advance to the first grade. Then we advance to the second grade and the third grade. Are you in the building with me? Do you see the progress? Do you see the progression? It's a process. Then we go from elementary school to junior high. Then we advance from junior high to high school. And then we get out of high school and we graduate to a career or to a vocational school or to college. We're advancing. And then one day, we get married. I thought I'd get some amens right there. I thought I'd get some shouts right there. That was an advance, right? The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So it's an advance. And we spend our life going through things to advance. We're not supposed to stay in the same place. We're not supposed to remain stagnant. Somebody shout, I've got it, 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 I've got it. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Are you getting this? Let me run through it real quick. God expects us to advance cognitively. Look at somebody and say, that's your head, your brain. You're supposed to think different. As you grow, you're supposed to think different. Your mind, you need to educate your mind. You need to read this book and see what this book says. I don't even have time to preach today. Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we need to get the mind of Christ. Somebody shout it, mind of Christ. I want you to get this in your spirit. When the Lord put this message in my spirit a few weeks ago, I just knew that on this Sunday, somebody was going to leave here different than you ever have before. Today, God wants to drop an aha moment into your spirit, man. He wants your eyes to open. He wants you to get it. He wants you to see something you've never seen before. It's not about religion. It's not about a church building. It's not about some formal ritual where we come and sing and there's a little message and we go home. It's not about that at all. It's about a relationship with the God of the universe that wants you to advance. He wants you to go to another place. He wants to take you to another level. He wants to get you to a new dimension. He wants you to begin to operate in the kingdom economy. And it starts between your ears. The only way you can advance is to believe that you can advance, to believe that you are a child of God, to believe that God wants to take you to another level. You can't go there if you don't believe it. I don't care how many times somebody reads it in this book, you must believe that it's for you. Look at somebody and say, advance in your mind. In your mind, you've got to see yourself advancing. You've got to think about it. You've got to realize that the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. They gave up on me. They quit me. You saw that. They want to sit down over there, so I sit down here. God expects us to advance. You say, Pastor, how do we do that? Right here, you read this book. And from cover to cover, from index to maps, it teaches us how to live. It teaches us how to advance. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, God says, let man have dominion over the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, over every living thing. Let man have dominion and subdue. So he tells us, first of all, you have the right to a domain. Dominion is a domain. We are made in the image of God. And God said, let them have dominion and subdue. So we need to understand in our mind that God has given us the right to a domain. But then he said, subdue. Not just have the dominion and let the dominion run you and let everybody and everything in the dominion run you. But he said, have dominion and subdue. Yeah. Say to the mountain that's in your way, in your domain, move and get out of my way. Go into the sea. I don't have time to go around you or to go over. Move, 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 move. Cognitively, you have to understand what the Bible says. There are many shortcuts if we just read the Bible. We want to do it the hard way. We want to do it the long way. Long math. Cognitively, I don't have time. I can already tell you. God expects us to advance emotionally. I want you to get ready for this. Grab your seat. Just grab hold of it. I don't want it to run out from under you when I tell you this. So grab it. What do you mean, Pastor? Advance emotionally. Here's what I mean. You ready? Everybody listen. Everybody look this way. Turn the volume when you're hearing it up. You ready? Grow up. When somebody tells you to grow up, they're not complimenting you. Grow up. We got full grown people acting like babies. Whining. You ever tell your kids, stop whining? We taught Brittany that whining didn't get you anywhere. Nowhere. You whine, the answer is no. She'd dry it up in a second, in a finstant. She would dry it up. Because whining gets you nowhere. Grow up. God wants us. He expects us to be emotionally mature. Be a full-grown adult. Are you an adult? Act like you're an adult. Scripture, please. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brothers and sisters, don't, in other words, with family. So I can talk to family. You can talk to family different. You talk to strangers, right? Family, brothers, sisters, don't think like children. In other words, grow up. In evil things, be like babies. In other words, be innocent about it. In evil things, be like babies. But in your thinking, you should be like full grown adults. Translated, grow up, grow up, grow up, grow up. When your thinking changes and you start thinking like an adult emotionally, you start acting like an adult emotionally. We got full-grown people acting like babies, 50 years old, running around planet Earth, acting like babies, whining about everything, complaining, murmuring, grumbling, fussing about everything. If you can fix it, fix it. If you can't, go on. Do the best you can and quit fussing about it. You want somebody else to fix it. You fix it. You fix it. Don't get somebody else to do what you can do. If there's a problem, fix it. Take care of it. We want to whine and cry. Grow up. Advance. God expects us to advance relationally. Now this one gets a little sticky because some folks, you know, they don't like everybody. They have problems with relationships. They have problems talking to folks, especially in this generation. Everybody's just got their device in their hand. We don't talk. We don't engage. I knew I'd get one or two amens. God made these eyes, these ears, this mouth, and all so I could look at somebody and talk to them.
I'd rather text them then.
Yeah? Talk. Open your mouth and talk. God expects us to advance relationally in your relationships with those people in your world. Scripture, here it is. Love your neighbor. Matthew 22. You shall. Sounds pretty strong to me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I heard somebody say, what is God's will for my life? Start right here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. Love God. Love God. Love God. Did you know that your will is the strongest force in your life and we love whom we will? Love God. Start with loving God. The second is like it. It's similar. It's love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor like you love yourself. I know you love yourself. Take a picture, hold it up. 50 people in the group. First thing you do is you look at yourself and then you say, that don't look like me. It looked exactly like you at that moment in time. Yes, it did, because it's you. But we want to look at ourselves. He says, the second is like the first. You shall love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your brothers, your sisters. Love the strangers. Love the guy down the street. Love those that hate you that are your neighbor. Oh, it just got hard right there. I don't even have time to preach. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. If we are going to advance in this world, if we are going to advance in God's kingdom, we must love our neighbor. How can we be the church if we can't love our neighbor? And right now, I want to give you a little insight because you probably don't know this. You haven't seen it. You haven't heard it. But the enemy is trying to divide everybody. Oh, you knew that, didn't you? He's trying to divide us. He'll use any tactic he can to divide us, to separate us. Sometimes you have to agree to disagree and then just love your neighbor. No matter what they believe, no matter what they think, love them. Let the love of God show through you and love them. God expects us to advance in our relationships. He wants us to love our neighbor. God expects us to advance vocationally. You're going to love this one. Especially you people that have your own business. Let me translate it. It's right there for you. Work. Work. God expects us to work. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you be lazy. Tell them, don't you be lazy. Here it is, 2 Thessalonians 3. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. It's pretty plain. It's in the Bible. Did you know that was in the Bible? If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. Look at your neighbor and say, from the looks of you, you like to eat. Come on, go ahead and say it. Be bold. Just look at your neighbor and say, hey, from the looks of you, you like to eat. And if you don't start working, you're going to have to stop eating because we're not going to feed you. Somebody shout advance. Advance. Come on, shout it out. Advance, 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 advance. God wants us to advance. Vocationally, yes. He wants you to advance on your job. He wants your business to advance. 2 Thessalonians 3. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work. It gets better. And meddling in other people's business. Don't say nothing right now, but just look at your neighbor and just do this. Just go. Just look at him. Just kind of. Come on, do it. All over the room. Just do that. Just. We hear that some of you are living idle lives. Lazy. Refusing to work. Lazy. Meddling in other people's business. Busybody. Nosy. Here's what the Bible says. We commend such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work. Settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, never get tired of doing good. God wants you to advance. He wants you to advance. Yes, he does. He wants you to advance cognitively, emotionally, relationally, vocationally, spiritually. He expects us to. He wants us to make his kingdom priority. I love Matthew 6:33. I've quoted it often. You should be able to quote it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you do that, everything else falls into place. All these other things that we're so worried about. All the other things, the other stuff that we get out of priority, we get out of order. All that stuff, if we put him first, all those other things will be added. What happens when you add? There is an increase. All the other things will be added to you. You will increase, which is part of your advance. When you seek him first, all the other things, all the other stuff will begin to increase you. It will be added to you. And it'll be better because you put him first spiritually. So let's advance. 1 Samuel 30. David had been in war. He'd been off in battle. And when they came back to the city, verse 3, they found it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken. The enemy had taken spoil from their city. They had taken the silver, the gold, the clothes, the food, the animals, and everything was gone. And they burned the city and left the city in ruins. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you felt like you lost everything? Nothing was left. That's where David was. This was one of the lowest points in his life, in his career. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine how they were cognitively? He was a warrior. He was the one whom they said, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. He was a warrior. And now his own city, his own home had been devastated and burned, and his family and all the people there had been kidnapped and taken out, and everything had been taken. Can you imagine how he felt cognitively? Can you imagine how he felt emotionally, relationally, spiritually? He felt depleted. He felt devastated. And all the men with him lifted their voices, not in a shout, not in victory, but in defeat, depleted, drained, ready to give up. And they cried so much until they had no more power to weep. Has anybody ever been there? Yes. You've ever been to the point that you were so depleted? You had cried yourself to sleep at night. You'd wake up in the middle of the night crying. In the daytime, you were sleeping. You'd lost everything. You felt like there was no hope, no future, no life. That's where David was. He was greatly distressed. And it was so bad because he was the leader. It says that the people spoke of stoning him. And if you've ever been a leader, most of us that are leaders, we make mistakes. We mess up. But we don't do it intentionally. We always do it with the right motive, with the right heart. We want to lead people. We want to bless people. We want to help people. We want to do the best that we can. But we are human. And we mess up. And David was human. He had led them into battle. They came back from war. And he was greatly distressed because those that he had loved, those that he had led into war, those that he had been victorious with, in a moment, in an instant, they turned on him, and now they were ready to stone him. Because the soul of every man, all the people, was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. So what did David do? Here's a lesson for all of us. When you are at your lowest point and you have nobody but God and everybody has left you, and people are ready to kill you, and they're ready to blame you, and you've lost everything, and there is no hope. What did David do? This is what we have to do. David strengthened himself in the Lord. One translation said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had to advance in the Lord in his mind, in his emotions, in his relationships, spiritually, and in every way. He had to encourage himself and strengthen himself because there was nobody left to do it for him. There was nobody to prop him up. There was nobody to say, it's going to be all right. There was nobody to say, you did your best. Just shake it off. There was nobody to do that. He had to encourage himself. And I'm telling you, when you advance in this world that we are living in, sometimes you are all by yourself. And you have to say to yourself, self, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what the world says, I am going to encourage myself. I am somebody because I'm created in the image of God. I'm created in the likeness and the power of God. And I'm encouraging myself. I'm strengthening myself. I'm going to march forward. I am going to advance. I will not accept defeat. I will not be denied. He said, Pastor, how do you advance? There are many ways we advance. We advance on our knees, first of all. See, people never learn that. We advance on our knees. We advance when we are reading His Word. We advance when we engage in praise and worship. Those are ways to advance. And if you think you can advance without doing those things, you are doing it in the flesh. You will not succeed. You cannot succeed. You might have a moment of false, fictitious glory and think you are moving forward, but you will fall flat on your face if you try to do it without doing it on your knees, in His Word, and with praise and worship. So David began to pray. He went to his knees, and the Bible says he inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I advance? Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I advance? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered him, "Boy, I've got your back. Pursue. Pursue. Advance. Go forward. David, everything about you was built to go forward. From your mother's womb, you were built to go forward. When you were birthed, you've been advancing ever since. You advanced through grade school. You advanced through high school. You advanced through the war academy. You advanced on the field when you were tending the sheep and the flock. And you killed the lion and you killed the bear with your sling. You were advancing when you slew the giant, when you killed Goliath." Come on, somebody. So God says to him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them." Does that sound like advance to you? You shall surely advance. How do you overtake somebody if you're going backwards? How do you overtake somebody if you're standing still? How do you overtake somebody if they're going forward and you go to the right or the left? How do you overtake somebody unless you are advancing? "Pursue, for you shall surely advance and overtake them, and without fail," without fail, what would you do? What would you do, Joey, if money were not an object and you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do if money were not an object and you knew you could not fail? I'm talking to somebody. What would you do if money were not an object and you knew you could not fail? Let me give you some good news. Money is not an object. Money or lack of money is not the problem. Oh, I heard what you said. You threw it back. You said, "But I don't have enough." It's not yours. You've got to get it. You've got the wrong concept. Do you think God has enough? Does God have enough money? His streets are paved with gold. His walls are made of jasper, gates of pearl. Do you think God has enough? He got real quiet. Only got about three amens right there. Answer the question. Sincere question. Does the God of the universe that created the heavens and the earth, does God have enough of whatever He needs? Yes? Then money is not an object, because none of it belongs to earth. Your Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Him. We are only stewards. That's all we are. The keys in your pocket are not to your car. They're to God's car. You missed that. The key in your pocket that opens the house where you live, it's not your house, it's God's house. The food that you ate this morning is not your food, it's God's food. The air that you're breathing in this room right now is not your air, it's God's air. The planet that we're standing on is not our planet, it's God's planet. We are only stewards. So we've settled the money problem, right? There's more than enough. If you don't have enough, He'll just create some more. Because He's the creator, right? Remember the song? He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. Let me add one. He is our creator. He created the heavens and the earth. He stepped out into nothing because there was nothing to step out onto. And He said nothing to nobody because there was nobody to say nothing to. And He said, "Let there be," and there was. He said, "Boy, David, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and recover without fail," recover all, without fail, without fail, without fail. What would you do if money were not an object and you knew you could not fail? God has never failed. We are just stewards. We belong to Him. We are arrows in His bow. We are weapons in His hand. So when we yield ourselves to Him, He points us where He wants us to go. All we have to do is go. All we have to do is advance. It may be one step at a time, but advance. It may be heavy. We may be weary. It may be a half a step at a time. Advance. Sometimes we get knocked back, and we might even have to retreat to advance. Retreat. Regroup. Gather your thoughts and advance. One step at a time. Pursue, for you shall recover. You shall overtake them and without fail recover all. Then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Sounds like he was advancing. And nothing of theirs was lacking, because David recovered all. Wow. Can you imagine? You need to imagine, because we're in a war. We're in a battle. The battle is raging. The fight is on. And you can't do it in the flesh. The attacks have intensified. But guess what? So has the power of the Holy Spirit on us. You are stronger than you've ever been. Cognitively, you are more alert and more awake than you have ever been. Now, right now, right now, right now, right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, right now. Emotionally, you are more mature than you've ever been. We still have some growing to do. Grow up, grow up. Relationally, love your neighbor as yourself. Spiritually, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you, but we have to advance. David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day, and nothing of theirs was lacking. Why? Because David recovered all. They got back their families, the wife, the kids, the animals, the goats, the sheep, the oxen, the horses, the silver, the gold, everything that was taken, they got it back. God is the great recovery expert. God is the great recovery expert. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when the thief, when he is caught, he has to give back sevenfold. 2007, the Lord gave me a message about God being the recovery expert. And in that message, I told you, those of you that were here then, that at that time, TBN used to have a station up on the mountain, and we used to go up there and host quite a bit. And on the way up there, we would pass on Broad Street the Towing and Recovery Museum. And I used to pass that place, and I would look over a little bit, Dottie, with sarcasm. And I thought to myself, more than once, many times, I thought, what is that? Towing and Recovery Museum. You know, because I don't own a tow truck, never been in the tow truck business. And I thought, who wants to come as a tourer into the city of Chattanooga, going to see the aquarium and going to the IMAX Museum and the Hunter Museum and going to all of that stuff and all those museums and all that, going downtown and visiting. We have so many millions of tourists that come every year. Who of them wants to go look at tow trucks? I can just see the Tourons with their black socks on, their short pants and white legs walking around saying, "Are we going to go see the tow trucks now?" And I used to pass that, and those thoughts went through my head. And one day the Holy Spirit said, "You need to go in there." And I thought, like, who are you talking to? That was meant for somebody else driving by, not for me. I don't care nothing about seeing tow trucks. But I went. And I discovered that the very first towing and recovery vehicle that was ever built on planet Earth was built in Chattanooga, Tennessee, around the turn of the century, around 1900, over 100 years ago. And this was in 2007. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I went in there and I started looking at the tow trucks and the tow cars and how they recover vehicles that have run off the road and gone off ravines and flipped over, and how they flip them back up and put air under some of them and jack them up and they'll just stand right up. And it's all about recovery, recovering what was lost. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I am the recovery expert. I've never lost anything. I've never lost anything. So David recovered all because he was willing to advance. I want you to get this. God wants us in this last day battle that we are in spiritually to advance. You cannot stay where you are.
Amen.
You cannot stay in the same place. That was why I had you get up and move around earlier. I want you to get used to moving around. I want you to get used to going forward. I want you to get used to advancing. I want you to get it in your spirit that everything about you was created to advance, to go forward, to go to the next level, to go to another season, to go to another place, to increase, to gain. Everything about you was built for that. And I want to drop this scripture in your spirit about advancing. Psalm 18, verse 29. With God's help, with your help, God, I can advance. Everybody read that with me. With your help, I can advance. Against what? Against a troop. What is a troop? It's an army. It's a military term. But with God's help, even if you face a troop of soldiers, don't be afraid. Don't be weary. Don't give up. Don't retreat. Don't think you cannot, because God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? I will advance against a troop. Not only that, with my God, I can scale a wall. You've seen the soldiers do it. They train to do it. We're in training. We're in a war. Let me give you some good news. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're red, yellow, brown, black, or white, green, purple, polka dotted, or pink. With God's help, you can advance against a troop. And with our God, you can scale a wall. And we may have to. But we will advance, because God saved the best for last. And we are here for such a time as this.